Catch our special Jimi Hendrix celebration with Sylvester Rivers. KPFK is in the home stretch of our spring fun drive, and your listener power is what will get us over the line. That's Saturday, May 23rd on KPFK 90.7 FM Los Angeles, or stream live at kpfk.org to keep your radio rockin' and independent.
Hi, this is Jamie Cromwell. You are listening to 90.7 FM KPFK Los Angeles and 98.7 FM Santa Barbara.
Cue the conga playing penguins.
Live at you.
For real, for real.
Oh, yeah.
The program's about to begin.
Yeah, it's the Poacher Hour Power, KPFK, 90.7 FM. I'm Jeff Keller on a beautiful sunny day in Southern California. That's what I'm talking about, baby. It's beautiful.
Sunny or Sunday?
Sunny day. I know I said Sunday. I was messing up. I'm fired up, Lalo. I'm sorry. Somebody got me fired up.
You're in two time zones ahead.
I know, man. I'm wound up, God dang it.
How's it going, man? It is a beautiful day. I'm Lalo Alcaraz, and we are here for another Pocho Hour Power Fun Drive. We put fun in funds, and you put funds in our bank account, hopefully, today. But we like to do the regular show, and so, you know, we have some guests, and we have our regulars, or at least one of them. Patricia Guadalupe, and it's going to be a great show, man.
Well,
Jeffrey,
I think the station should get some of that $1.776 billion.
That's right,
slush fund, because I'm sure we've been harmed many ways by the federal government.
We are aggrieved. Like every time I got to look at that guy's face, I'm aggrieved. Holy mackerel!
Well, are we begging for money again? I just got into the building.
Yes, yeah, we are.
Okay, well, I prefer gently coaxing the money out of the wallet of my opponent, which is my opponent is always anybody who has more money than me. So that's how I look at life.
Hey, I'll say this: if you listen to the show and you are a Trump supporter and you donate $10,000 to the show, I'll never come on again.
Well, you know what?
You know what?
Dang, Jeffrey, you are pitching a vow of silence like a Buddhist monk.
Yes,
before price.
Yes, my son.
Silence the pochos.
Yes,
supporting.
I will never come on again.
Power.
Listen, man. I just heard that the giant panda has been removed from the endangered species list, but KPFK is still on it. We have not survived.
People stop going to Panda Express? What?
No, not the Panda Express. Like, have you ever been to a panda reserve or, you know, a place where they keep pandas alive just so people can enjoy gawking at them like at the zoo?
Like because they're biracial?
Look, man. Okay, look, dude, I wear bamboo socks, so it's very dangerous for me to go into a panda reserve.
Okay.
Because, you know.
The ankle biters.
Exactly.
They still make those? What the hell?
They still. Look it. I got bamboo socks. I mean,
what swap meet did you find those
I
at?
Got bamboo bites on them.
Oh, my God. Lalo, he got holes in them, and he's still rocking them.
It's the pandas.
I'll tell you, I blame it on pandas. But listen, pandas are no longer on the endangered species list.
That's beautiful.
Free speech is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Free speech and community radio is on the endangered species list. So we have to look at it in a little context that might put more of the dire needs for our money or your money for our coffers over here. And I'm always worried about getting impaled by this
chair.
Yeah, well, this thing's been put together with duct tape and what is that? Super glue you got on your chair?
Look, I'm used.
Is that why yours stays up and mine falls down?
I'm used to the hood chair. I got that gorilla glue.
It's not just the chair. I mean, we are literally broadcasting from
a closet,
transmitting from a broom closet.
A closet.
Yeah, we don't even have parking spots, people.
No. What's that?
That's why I was circling the block trying to find parking.
I gave up. I just took the bus.
Yeah, I should have done that, but my bus pass expired last month.
You got a bus pass?
Right. Donate for Zool's bus pass.
Yes, he needs one because I'm tired of jumping on the back of the bus and riding it illegally.
Oh, geez. Well, you do it old school. Mm-hmm. That's what we used to do back in the day. But please call us and give us some money, man. And I don't even know the number because
818-985-5735 KPFK. Come on, man. Right.
Jeffrey, you have the memory of a dolphin who's been trained to put minds on warships.
How long have you been doing this show?
Too long.
Oh, but my gosh.
I told myself the minute I memorized the number, I have to quit. That's why they put it up on the board for me, on the wall.
Not but anymore.
We can't afford the copies to put the number on the wall for the host to give it to you.
Well, we can't afford some good guests. And we've also, in addition to Patricia Guadalupe, we've got Consuelo Flores. And the play Soul Sacrifice. That's going to be a little later, and we're very excited about that. Consuelo's a longtime friend, icon in the East LA Chicano art community. So we'll talk to her about all kinds of stuff. But we do have some great premiums. We got the East Side Story t-shirt now in all sizes.
What?
So, that's a newsflash.
I'm about to get one.
Wow.
and
because they were usually only in junior petite.
Yeah, but that's
now,
right.
We can all wear one.
Or fighting chola.
Fighting chola.
That's double
those
X.
Those are the breakaway shirts.
Wait. Were they wearing them at that fighting event you went to? What was it called?
Oh, no, those are the World Star. Well,
the Fool Slap Fight Championship.
$65 pledge for that. Beautiful piece of fashion. It's got an East Side Story album cover on there. The famous compilation of East Side classics, oldies and stuff. And not to mention volume three CD set, $100 donation. Volume 1 to 3, $100. Or volume 4 to 6, $100. Get both for $200 in case you can't do math.
What?
Or everything. For a $265 contribution. I like how Gary just adds the numbers up and doesn't give any discount.
But everybody knows that if you're going to listen to the East Side Story,
come on now,
album, you have to listen to it on your 8-track tape recorder.
Yeah.
Because that's the classic way.
Yeah.
You know what an 8-track is, right? You was born in the classic days of music, right, Jeffrey?
Yes, I used to ride around with you, and you would play the 8-track, and you would put a little matchbook in there so it wouldn't move.
That's right.
Just play forever.
He remembers. We used to cruise forever. Every Sunday.
Come on, now. Epic Car Club. Come
we
on,
used to
man.
Cruise every Sunday. Now Jeff doesn't even call me.
Well, now, since we're cruising along, let's start up the band.
Yeah, put that out.
Hail to Patricia Guadalupe, bold your correspondent from Washington, D.C. Hail to Patricia, she comes to spread the cheese. She comes with all the gossip, she's here to spill the tea.
Hello. You know, I want one of those fighting chola t-shirts because I'm your puppet.
Come on now. Come on, sad girl. You already know.
Straight on the bus.
Hello, folks. It's good to be back here again. And I'll start with something really funny. And then we'll talk about some of the news. But, this is sort of related to the news. The White House and the 4th of July is sooner than you think. But the White House wants to attempt a Guinness World Record with the 4th of July fireworks because, you know, be best and all that. So they're talking about putting up 860,754 fireworks for almost an hour, which would break a world record that happened in the Philippines in 2016 for New Year's. This is what the president is really worried about, the fireworks. We're going to make America great again with the greatest fireworks and the greatest thing in the world, because he is always, he is also so busy with this slushy of the slushiest funds, the $1.776 billion. Mm. Now, the reason that, you know, a lot of folks have been writing that, you know, almost 1.8 million, which is true. But the reason that they have it as 1.776 is because 1776, of course, is when the United States was established. And so the president had this, Trump had this whole idea of this is a patriotic contribution to the country. And the Republicans finally found their spine, a bunch of them, yesterday, and are up in arms about this particular thing.
Finally, too far, right?
So they've evolved from the slug state, the mollusk state, to something resembling a creature with a spine.
Yeah, they finally found it because they see that this is beyond ridiculous. Because if you're not too familiar with this, this is an initiative that the White House wants to put through, which, of course, they need the approval of Congress, $1.77 billion with a B dollars to help what they say are President Trump's allies, meaning all of those people that rioted on January 6, 2021, that broke into the Capitol, that ended up fighting with the police, shooting hitting them with flagpoles, with pepper spray, with bear spray, you know, basically acting like the traitors and the hoodlums and the criminals that they were. All of them were finally arrested and convicted. Mm-hmm. They pled guilty. What did the president do? He turned around and pardoned all of them, including people who, after they were pardoned, went on to commit some crimes.
Yeah. Well, this is like the most expensive get-out-jail-free card ever in the history of the game of Monopoly, which we are living in a live reality.
The acting attorney general, Todd Blanche, is the one who signed off on this. This is a guy who went to law school, who was a former federal prosecutor. And what this is clearly illegal and unconstitutional. The Constitution specifically says that there nobody who tries to overthrow the U.S. government can be compensated monetarily or otherwise. That was put in there after the U.S. Civil War. And these are people who tried to do that. And yet the Trump people want to help them and say, well, they were prosecuted unfairly by the government. But and there's fine print in there that says the IRS cannot go after Trump or his children, grandchildren, or future generations for any tax liabilities, any judgments. They threw that language in there.
Yep.
He's like, not that we're going to do any.
No.
Well, of course they did, because Blanche used to be Trump's lead attorney.
Oh, yeah, but probably because they plan on skimming the fund, of course, right?
Yeah, and so So, of course, in the meetings that the Republicans have every day, their caucus meetings, there was shouting and yelling and a lot of angry folks, to the point that they all left town for the Memorial Day weekend, which in Congress means 2 weeks off, not the regular, you know, 3-day weekend like everybody else, the lucky ones of us.
Well, yeah, they have to forget that they even had a job to begin with. That's the Memorial part of it.
So what they did was, because they left in a huff, they didn't sign the legislation to give the president money for the ballroom, and they didn't sign the legislation to give ICE money. They left a whole bunch of things pending, and some of them actually got on some of the network televisions to say how angry they were about this slush fund. Which is the first time in a long time that a lot of them have publicly clashed with the president. But of course, Lindsey Graham, Lalo's favorite senator from South Carolina,
in the closet,
said,
"I think he's going to be on Dancing with the Stars one day."
Yeah, he said, "Well, yeah, the." We have to look into this. We have some more questions about whether this is a good thing or not. So he's still on the fence on that. This is another guy who went to law school, but he still cannot get his lips off of the president's ass still.
I feel pretty, oh so pretty.
and so that was going on. And then this weekend, Trump Jr. is getting married.
What?
Which you're thinking, yeah, okay, who cares? But here's the thing, that his dad said yesterday, "I'm going to try and go, but I can't guarantee because I'm really busy with Iran, and I've known him a long time." He said that about his own son.
I've known him a long time.
And so today he said, "I'm sorry, I'm not going to be able to go. Because I love the United States of America so much, and I'm so busy with everything that's going on that I'm not going to be able to go to his wedding. Sorry." And now it's, you know, maybe Don Jr., if he wanted his dad to go to his wedding, should have had it at a golf course, because for sure he would have shown up, you know. And good news for Kilmar Abrego Garcia, Maryland Salvadoran, who was deported to El Salvador incorrectly and illegally. A judge threw out all the charges against him, which were all bogus anyway. The government was saying that he was in a gang, which he was not. They were saying that the tattoo said that they found on him was a gang sign. It was not. It was just
regular. It was a Microsoft 13 version.
Yeah, pretty much. Mm-hmm. And they even said that when they caught him speeding, and that's when the whole thing started, that he was taking some guys across the border, and it was clearly smuggling because none of them had suitcases. That was part of their argument.
So can he get part of that 1.176?
Well, yeah.
Come on, man.
Here's the thing, Todd. You know, Todd Blanche said that it's open to pretty much everybody. So like you said at the top of the show, why not? You know, if you feel aggrieved, why not go ahead and do it? You know, it looks like it's not going to pass.
Oh.
But this is probably one of the most ridiculous.
Damn,
Patricio, when it comes
a whole week of La Cucaracha comics, on this,
better
pass.
I had plans for that money. Damn it,
You have a couple of weeks for your comics to go, so you're okay, because they're not going to come back for another couple of weeks to do it, so you're okay.
But Patricia, when it comes to like this kind of judgment, when somebody's been wrongfully and unjustly deported and has to go through all this, I mean, how does that legal defense for them to even combat the government and come back?
He's lucky.
The cost of it must be enormous.
Well, he's lucky that his wife is a U.S. citizen who knows the system quite well and was lucky to get a pro bono attorney, meaning an immigration attorney who was going to do it for free. And so he was lucky in that, because there are many.
But there are many people who are not lucky enough to have access to this.
Absolutely true.
And that's, there are that's why this attack is working, because people can't fight.
Yeah, and that's exactly it. And even when they throw out a case, when they come after you for something that you know is not true, you still have to get an attorney.
Yep.
You still have to do all of these things. And the cheapest attorney in Washington, D.C. is, if it's $100 an hour, that's bargain basement money. So you still have to come up with that kind of money to defend, even when nothing comes of it. When they throw everything out, you still have to pay all of those bills.
Yeah,
still
and that attorney would probably be, the bargain basement price would be Rudy Giuliani.
Wait, I'm guessing. No, they ain't got Sweet James? Come on.
Sweet James or Rudy Giuliani, you pick.
Yeah, pretty much. You know, so he got, you know, like Kilmer Abrego Garcia's family is very lucky in that his wife was like, oh, hell no. And she was able to get somebody to one of the things that they did, and I don't think a lot of people do enough of, is she called the local TV station and got a lot of free publicity with that.
Yeah.
So, you know, that it always helps. And when, you know, people say, oh, the media, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, a lot of times these you don't hear about these stories until somebody writes about it or does a story about it on TV or the radio. And so the local TV and radio stations here in the Washington area did stories on it. And so she was able to get an attorney who did it for free. And the senators in Maryland, where he lives, are very active in the immigrant rights community. Both Democrats. So she was able to get their attention, including having one of the senators, Senator Chris Van Hollen, go down to El Salvador to speak to Abrego Garcia when he was incarcerated down there in this horribly notorious jail down there. They had the case went, as you remember, all the way to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court said, you need to send him back. And then when he came back, the government still was not giving up, and they were coming up with these ridiculous charges that, well, he was still trying to smuggle people and he was still trying to do all this other stuff. And the federal judge today said, this is all completely ridiculous. He even accused the acting attorney general Blanche of impropriety and of basically making stuff up to try and get the charges to stick, when there was absolutely no evidence of anything that they said that he did. So in that particular case, he was lucky, but there's a lot of people out there and overseas in, you know, a lot of deported people that shouldn't have been, that are fighting these cases. And the backlog of cases is just unbelievable. I mean, earlier today, the Trump administration said that anybody who applies for a green card is going to have to leave and apply in their native country, even if they're here already under another permission that they're working legally and stuff. So here we go with the immigration attorneys fighting all of that, because there's already more than a million applications backlog. Because
right. But speaking of the million, does the $1 million immigration Trump gold card still, is that still in effect?
Well, you know, that's a good question, because that phone, the Trump phone, if you remember, there was a Trump phone that a lot of people, the MAGA crowd, sent in a $100 deposit. The phone never appeared. Until NBC News did a story about it a few weeks ago, and a phone ended up being shipped to NBC that they could take a look at it. But the folks who wanted some of the money back, or at least that $100 deposit, they may not get it back, and they may not even get the phone, because the phone that was sent to NBC is basically a prototype. It was supposed to be built here in the U.S. It's not. You can guess where it is, China. It has a hologramish illustration of a U.S. flag on the back, but there's only 11 stripes, not 13 stripes. I mean, it's just, so everything.
He can only afford 11.
He can only afford 11.
Patricia, I once ordered an American-made phone, and I sued the company, and I lost because they sent me 2 tin cans and 20 feet of string. And they
said that 20 feet of string is not enough. You needed to get like 200 feet of string. Then you
they said it was a network. It doesn't work that way.
And it still worked better than a Trump phone.
It does work better than a Trump phone, though.
Yeah, and this is, you know, that Trump has the ability of, you know, being the opposite of the Midas touch. Everything that he touches turns to you know what. This is a family station.
Well, it turns to yellow, but not yellow of gold. Probably the
you do know
it turns to urine.
When he tries to set that record with the fireworks, you know something's going to catch on fire. It's just going to happen.
I already thought he beat the record by bombing Iran. I don't know what the hell he's trying to do.
Yeah, and imagine 860,000 fireworks in D.C.
Come on, something's going to catch on fire. Come on.
Or it's going to rain too much, because that's the other thing here, that we're so unlucky sometimes where it rains right on the 4th of July. In fact, right now, after a couple of days of it being 97 degrees, it's now all of a sudden down to 55 degrees and raining, so...
And who's going to clean up that mess? You know how the mess that's going to be shooting on the fire?
Is the National Guard still there? I thought they were doing... Is the National Guard still in D.C.?
Well, yeah, they're still hanging out. But
they're doing custodial work, right?
They're hanging out. I mean, I saw a bunch of them at the train station not too long ago looking at their phones, so... They're not here to do any police work. They're just sort of walking around, you know, looking tough, but they're still here. And
hey, does your Trump phone work? Mine doesn't.
and you know that it's costing you and me and all the other taxpayers $1 million a day to have the National Guard just standing around looking, you know, like they're doing something, but they really can't get involved in any policing. They can't get involved in arresting anybody. They can alert people, but, you know, so can anybody else. Hey, the police, come over here. They can call 911, but they can't really do much of anything else. So everybody knows that whole thing was window dressing from the very beginning, but they're still here because, you know, the president still needs somebody to walk around the White House, to guard the ballroom that's under construction and all the other stuff that he wants, you know.
Right. But all these things really sprang once his name came up 38,000 times in the Epstein files.
That's
it just
the
keeps
thing.
Going and going. There's just so much BS.
Yeah, that's the other thing. There's 2 million files that have not been released, okay? 2 million files. And they say that his name comes up more than anybody else's, except for Epstein himself. So this is why you see a lot of this stuff with the war in Iran. You know, now they're going to try and, you know, oh, they indicted the leader of Cuba, like that's going to do anything. And, you know, the whole ballroom, and then trying to put an arch over the entrance to the Arlington National Cemetery with his name on it. All of these things are distractions. I mean, he spoke this, you know, this is the season of a lot of commencements. And so he spoke at the U.S. Coast Guard Academy commencement a few days ago. And even there, he started talking about utter nonsense.
He was checking out some dude's booty, wasn't he?
Yeah, he's like, you're really muscular.
What you talking about, Jeffrey?
He sure was.
He's like, oh, nice ass to one guy. And like,
what?
He sure did. He sure did.
Yeah, and then he told one of the female, he said to one of the female graduates, come on up here and, you know, get a diploma from me so that I don't get sued for not paying attention to the women. This is what he's telling.
Oh, my God.
Future Coast Guard officers. I mean, this is...
Oh, my God. That's Dementia Grandpa 101.
No, that's creepy Trump. That's what that is.
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, you know, if your demented Dementia Grandpa was the president.
Yeah, but I don't want to give him credit. I'm going to give him who he is. He is a creepy dude. He is not like it's the first time he's done something like this. Hey, well, this is what he's done forever.
He comes from a long line of creepiness.
Yeah. And you know, and even today, you know, Tulsi Gabbard, the director of National Intelligence.
She's gone
because she said that, I need to pay attention to my husband who got diagnosed with a rare form of cancer. Oh, well, that's terrible. And this is the first person to leave the cabinet that has not been kicked to the curb. But she was the director of National Intelligence, and she basically disappeared. You know, this was a job that was created right after 9/11, and she was not involved in anything related to Iran, in anything related to Venezuela, and everything related to Cuba, nothing.
Yeah, because we all know she's so super qualified, right?
Yeah, that's the thing, too. But remember that she was also accused of giving some intelligence to the Russian folks back when she was in Congress. So now they're talking about replacing her with Elise Stefanik, who was a member, a rabid Trumpy in the New York congressional district in upstate New York, where the Republicans live, not New York City. And this is another person who is a complete bootlicker, no experience whatsoever in national affairs, international intelligence. Yes, she did go to Harvard, but that doesn't automatically mean that you're qualified. But she's a name that's been floating around. But again, you have to remember that the really intelligent and qualified people disappeared a long time ago. There really isn't anybody in the Trump cabinet that you can say, "Oh yeah, they know what they're doing."
I wonder
Patricia, we don't want you to disappear, but we would like to go to a short break. And if you could hang on and tell the people why they need to support the Butcher Hour Power after we come back from a break, we would really appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. You're listening to Butcher Hour Power and Patricia Guadalupe, and the Butchers will be right back with more Pochismo after this.
For KPFK, this is Charlie Gonzalez. The Dodgers are in sole possession of first place in the NL West, and they'll be tested in a three-game series at the NL Central leading Milwaukee Brewers this weekend. First pitch from Logan Henderson is at 4:40 this afternoon. The Sparks continue their road trip tomorrow evening at 5 on CBS, and they face the Las Vegas Aces, sporting a league-best 4-1 record. UCLA softball is two wins away from the Women's College World Series in Oklahoma City. Two wins against UCF will punch their ticket. First pitch of Game 1 is tonight at 6 on ESPNU. UCLA's run in the Big Ten baseball tournament is about to begin on Big Ten Network. They'll face the Purdue Boilermakers in the quarterfinals round. This has been Charlie Gonzalez with your KPFK High Speed Sports Update.
Hi, this is Moby, and if you care about the state of the world, the environment, freeform music, arts and culture, please make a pledge and support KPFK Free Speech Radio.
Join listener-supported KPFK. Call now, 818-985-5735.
Hi, this is Lonnie Jordan from the band War, and you're listening to the Pocho Hour of Power.
What are we doing?
Oh, yes. Poach Our Power, KPFK 90.7 FM on a beautiful afternoon.
Simone, get down, this is. And we are live and in effect.
What's that?
I want to cruise at the park with all this film and music playing.
Come on, orderly homes. Come on, this is.
Bowling Park.
This is Bowling Park, this is.
This is Vato. If you don't have the East Side Story collection, you ain't a real Vato, man. You had to go down to the park. You had to sit there, crack a 40 of Old English or maybe some King Cobra, sit back with your homies, and maybe spill a little bit out, man, just for the ones who ain't there. And that's when you know you're a true homie from the hood, from the park, hanging with the community. And that's what we're doing right now. Man, we're trying to get some money. We're trying to get our little pennies out your couch. and we need that support over here at KPFK 90.7 FM because we are community radio. Jeffrey, tell them about it, man.
Man, I'm going to tell you right now. You're going to have some hits. You're going to have like Natural High by Bloodstone. Come on. You're going to have What's Your Name by Don and Julian. How Can I Tell My Mom and Dad by Love Lights. Come on, man. You can't get stuff like this. How dedicated can I tell- to the one Wait, I love.
What are you trying to tell your mom again?
I'm done. I can't do it.
That you didn't support KPFK.
That's right. And how much is this? How much are these things? Like
$200 for a 3-CD set. $100 for this thank you gift, volume 1 to 3 or volume 4 to 6. Numerically, they're the same. They're both for $200. Or that and the shirt for $265. We don't cut no deals here because we're already doing a value for the community here on the Pocho Hour Power. Well, maybe not our show, but a KPFK in general. Yeah. Call in 818-955-5735, 818-955-KPFK. Please call in and support. At $65 for that t-shirt is pretty cool. But these records are like classics, and you will feel like it's a 1970 and even before, just chilling at the park. But Patricia, tell the people why they need to support KPFK. Yeah,
because you're not gonna hear any of this anywhere else, man. Just think about, you know, what Lala was saying about cruising down the boulevard. Okay, you're gonna pay a lot more in gas than you would in the 1970s, but you're not gonna hear this kind of radio anywhere else. And we're not beholden to anybody. There isn't a corporation telling us don't do this, don't do that. And we're here as because we want to be, because we want to inform you, we want to tell you what's going on. We like being here. This is always, you know, a fun kind of group of folks, and you're listening because you know that you're not going to get this anywhere else, you know. So definitely open up that wallet, folks, because check out that premium that they're giving out, man. That's a nice one.
Yeah, man. And we've given out like concert tickets like Earth, Wind & Fire, The Emotions, Yellow Man Ace. We've had Will Ferrell on the show, Sandra Bernhard, and Cheech and Chong. I mean, you name it, they've been on the Pocho Hour Power for some reason.
That's right. We get them coming up and going down.
Yeah, come on, people. Tune in. Open up your wallets. You know that you're not going to hear this anywhere else.
That's right. Please do. 818-985-5735. I mean, think about it. We're not like these other, like CNN and all them that are held to accountable to their commercials and to their constituents and their...
To their shareholders.
That's what I was trying to think of. No, we're accountable to you, the people. And that's why we do it, because we want the people to have the real information, the real knowledge, how to get help, how to organize, and how the people can come together. That's why we here, God dang
it. Yeah,
yeah, that's exactly right. You know, if you're one of those influencers out there right now and you got a big wad of cash from a certain campaign, turn around and give it to the Pocho Hour Power, man. We need it more than you do. Come on.
Come on, because it's an attack on public radio. And so we need you to help us to stay on the air. This way, Zool can get a better seat and a better mic.
I think that Jeffrey always gives me the seat that makes me look shorter than him.
That's because I'm on time.
And I know. I know.
I thought you were sitting on.
No, it's because I'm Mexican.
It's because you're Mexican. Well, you are shorter than me. You are 5'3".
You guys are all sitting on boxes. I thought you didn't have any chairs.
That's right.
It's not his fault he's 5'3".
You know, at this point, we'll take your donation and buy some better tape to tape the chairs back together. Because what matters is keeping the lights on and keeping the signal going, KPFK 90.7 FM. And we do it for you. We love doing it, but we love our audience. And that's why we don't let you call in.
At 818-985-5735. 818-985-5735. We want you to call in now. And please pledge, give what you can, $1, $5, $25, $50, and $10,000, and I will no longer be on the Pocho Hour.
If you want to silence Jeffrey Keller forever, all you have to pledge is $10,000.
Well, and, Patricia, thank you for being on with us. What do we have to look forward to?
Well, we got the memorial. We got the Memorial Day weekend out there, which unfortunately means that you're going to be spending $2 billion more in gas over the 4-day weekend than last year because of these ridiculous prices. So, folks out there, have a great weekend and a great holiday, but be careful if you don't have to be driving around too much, you know, maybe just a couple of, you know, swings around the corner. But the prices for this particular Memorial Day weekend have gone up for gasoline, for hamburgers, for hot dogs, even tomatoes. Tomatoes have gone up, according to one of the economic indicators, 40% more than what they were last year. So there's a lot of people that are hurting. While the Trump family is making money hand over fist with a bunch of stock trades all over the place that a lot of people don't know about because, you know, I don't want to be a conspiracy theory person here, but a lot of the corporate media, they get silenced. And this is why you want to tune into this particular station and this particular show, because we're going to tell you things that you're not going to hear anywhere else, like the Trump family making in one day a couple of million dollars just to trade in some stocks in cryptocurrency while you're paying 40% more for tomatoes and $3 or $4 more a gallon for gasoline.
And they're getting government contracts, but they don't want you to have health care.
Right. Yeah, that's right. And yeah, and no bid government contracts. Yep, okay, that's the other thing too. So that's why it's important for you to tune in, not just listen, but see, contribute what you can. I know it's hard. I know a lot of us are going through financial difficulties, but see what you can do to help us stay on the air.
That's right. That's right. 818-955-735. Call in, join KPFK, or pledge any amount. Or if you want the thank you gifts, get the East Side Story t-shirt, 65 bones, or the speaking of bones, the oldies albums.
Come on now.
That have led to a big population increase in our community. Let's just leave it at that. And only $100 for the East Side Story 1-3 or 4-6. The volumes are classics. You will love them. But Patricia, thank you so much for joining us on the Pocho Hour Power. Have a great holiday weekend.
You guys too, and to the listeners out there, same. And I'll be back next week with more of the craziness from DC over here at the Pocho Hour Power, man.
All right, thank you, Patricia Guadalupe. And hey, guys, let's jump to our next guest.
All right.
Consuelo Flores
is sitting right next to me. But here's the deal.
What's the deal, man?
We don't even have enough headphones for her to hear you right now because we're so underfunded.
That's facts.
And I've been sharing the headphones with her back and forth during this whole time.
Oh,
so
man.
I'm going to take the headphones off of myself so she can actually hear you, Lalo, and actually get on the mic. Because
thank you, Esteban. Look at the sacrifices we do.
This is what happens when we don't have enough money.
Wait.
Uh-oh. Engineer. The Wizard of Oz just walked in.
Woo!
Whiz. He's going to make some magic happen right now.
1-800-THE-WIZ.
Well, why are they doing that? Let's talk about soul sacrifice.
So Soul Sacrifice is a play that I wrote, and it is a play that is inspired by my real life experience as a 9-year-old girl during the Chicano moratorium of August 29th, 1970. And it is how both the Vietnam War and that protest affected one family in East Los Angeles.
Wow. That's amazing.
And it's very timely right now because of all of the wars that are going on. My family was an immigrant family, and the persecution of the immigrant community is ongoing. And we forget what the contributions are about, you know, what the immigrant community has contributed to our lives in our society. And I think that's a real shame.
Yeah, and
that's right. And they're not only making us forget, they're actively erasing
exactly.
the history. Mm-hmm. And that is a crime.
Are right? they whitewashing it, Lalo? Is that what they're doing?
Yes, and my brother...
Hey, I wasn't going to say that.
But the Vietnam War took a lot of... minority people.
Yes.
All the underclasses were sent to fight this illegal war.
Absolutely.
And it was a really terrible war because not a lot of people made it back.
That's
And it
correct.
Wasn't even a war because it was never...
They never really called it a war.
Hey, does that sound familiar?
Yep.
Does that sure sound does. Familiar? And how many people have died already? And how many people of color have died in another country? What is that? Does that sound familiar?
Yeah, they called the Vietnam War the Elimination of the Minorities War.
Oh, yeah, right.
So, so many minorities were killed over there in Vietnam.
And not only that, but a lot of them came back with
PTSD.
PTSD, no, yeah, but
drug addiction.
Drug addiction and all this because of the harvesting of the opium and all these things that eventually made it back to the United States.
That's correct. My brother won a Bronze Star for his work there or for his bravery there. Mm-hmm. But they're trying to erase that too. So, does that sound familiar? Why are we reliving and again, brown people killing other brown people?
Wow. Sounds familiar. And what do you do in this play?
I am playing, I have the great honor
What's your name?
Playing, oh, good point. My name is Myrna Velasco. I am an actress, and I have the greatest honor of playing young Connie, which is a small depiction of Consuelo here.
So and she does a fabulous job.
I won't say that, but thank you.
So how does it feel to perform this piece in front of the person who it's about and you're playing them?
I think I told her last night in one of our dress rehearsals, let me know if I did anything wrong. Mm. So it's a little overwhelming, a little scary, but it is my job to listen and hopefully portray something that reminds Consuelo of her experiences.
But Myrna, do you have any connection, like, through family or anything with the Vietnam War? Do you have any connection on that level, like, through your family history, personal?
Technically, no. Very specifically because my grandfather was a bracero, and he was working fields right around the same time as the Vietnam War,
right.
And he knew that his sons would have been drafted should he have stayed. So he moved his family back to Mexico during the Vietnam War to keep his family safe. So it's kind of like a tricky – it touches all of us, but it's how each family reacts in its own way.
That sounds like another play right there.
I know, it doesn't.
I was telling them earlier, my uncle Keith Enriquez was a sharpshooter in the Vietnam War.
Really?
And he came back, you know, addicted. And never really got his life back together, you know, because, you know, they had cancers coming back from Vietnam because we used Agent Orange, but we said we didn't use chemical weapons until most of them had passed away, and then we admitted we did. So it was for minorities, it was a horrendous war and ramifications that they brought back to the minority neighborhoods, and we had to help them through it.
But my uncle, Richard Sewell, was a medic, and he came back, and he had PTSD, and he was always troubled. He was very alone, and I could never really get behind that with him until one day he kind of broke down to me, like, why he had so much trouble
connecting,
coming back,
and
how little things triggered him,
right?
And it was like heartbreaking, the stories he told me.
And you will see some of that in this play,
right?
And you know, that's really it was called shell shock. Then there wasn't a term PTSD,
right.
But that's, you will see how when my brother came back. There are scenes in this play that are based on what happened in our family behind closed doors that no one knew about, but everybody knew because everybody was experiencing those same kinds of of events in their own families, just like yours, Esteban, yeah. or Zoo.
Yeah, it was just like, it was really like, I could never put my, or understand it until I spent that time with my uncle, and he would never talk about it.
Exactly.
It was only one really rare moment in a conversation I had with him when I really understood what he had been through.
I had a conversation with my brother during Deer Hunter. Remember Deer Hunter, the movie?
Yeah, I remember that.
And I told him, you know, Louis, you shouldn't go see that movie. And he said, girl, and that was the first time I'd ever heard him curse. Uh-huh. I effing went through that. I don't need to go and see it in a movie theater.
Right.
And so it was really, I remember being stunned and it hitting me really hard that what I saw in that movie was something that he lived through.
Yeah, it's sad because, you know, we had families that weren't prepared or knew how to deal with what these people coming back, their relatives, and what they're bringing back with them. The families didn't know how to deal with that, yeah. and like they do now, right? They know they have help for them, but there was no help for them back then. They had to deal with it on their own, and, you know, it brought tragedy to the family.
So, but Consuelo, in the context of this story that you're telling, like, is it from your perspective or your brother's perspective?
No, it's from my perspective.
So it's from a younger person's
it's
perspective.
It's from Mirna's perspective.
Who's like,
see Mirna here? Look at the young, vibrant.
It's a stretch even of its own because I am playing a 9-year-old girl. So it's really.
Wait, you playing 9?
I know. I'm hey. 10, but I'm not that young.
You don't look a day over 12.
I know. Hollywood is hard.
Oh.
but it is looking at the entire family through the eyes of a 9-year-old, and how does a 9-year-old piece together something as heavy and real as the Vietnam War and something as personal and hard-hitting as the Chicano Moratorium and what happened to the people there. So it's a really cool – I really love the way that we portray it, and it's a really cool way of telling
the
story.
I've only seen snippets of the rehearsals. I do not want to see it mm-hmm. until the full production, which starts – the preview night is next Thursday, May 28th, and the run officially starts on Friday, May 29th, and it plays – Friday, Saturdays at 8 and Sundays at 3 p.m. through June 21st is the
title of the play.
It's called Soul Sacrifice.
Right.
And it's going to be at Casa 0101, right?
That's correct, in the Gloria Molina Auditorium.
And we have two pairs of tickets to give away.
What? Woo!
Come on now.
Call in 818-985-5735 and get a pair of tickets to see Soul Sacrifice at the Sunday performance on March 31st, 2020.
May
31st. May. Typo. And May
31st. Casa 010. 0101, right? Is that where it is?
Yeah, at 3 o'clock on Sunday, May 31st. Call in 818-955-5735. 818-95-KPFK. And the play is directed by our friend Kenneth Castillo, too.
That's correct. Cool. And he is fabulous. He somehow teases out nuanced performances from every single one of his cast members. And I'm just blown away in the sliver moments that I've seen the rehearsal. I'm just blown away.
Well, who else is in the play?
So,
we've got the amazing Carlos Pratt, if you remember him from the film McFarland. We have Carla Ojeda, who originated the role of Gloria Molina at Casa 0101.
Yes.
And then we've also got Martin Morales and Itzel Ocampos. And sorry, I'm like reading and thinking. It's very hard for me. And David Flores, which Itzel Ocampos and David Flores, this is their premiere play here at the Equity Theater, Casa 0101, which we're very proud to give them a bit more.
So, yes, and they are, as I mentioned before, they are just fabulous. And Carlos, this is his return to the theater after many, many years. And I know that he was nervous about it. And I saw him, that he was one of the tiny scenes that I saw. And that tiny scene just affected me. It just gave me the goosebumps, and I got the chills all over, the goosebumps all over.
We're professional. We know what we're doing.
Oh, yes, you do.
Now, what do you love about doing live performance?
I love connecting with the audience. I love everything. I love the rehearsal process. I love connecting with my cast members. I love being able to talk to the director. I love everything about live theater. I grew up in live theater, so coming back to it is just such a relief, where you can like really dig in and enjoy the process of creating theater and creating a story. So that's what I love.
And did you do anything special to get ready for this role?
Well, I was very fortunate to be able to be a part of the readings for Soul Sacrifice. So it was really great to be able to like talk with Consuelo and be like, hey, what do we do here? What was this like? What was the moratorium like? What's the family like?
That was one of the things that it was the development process for the for this production. And Kenneth and I worked together so that I would come at the initial table read, even before in the development process, so that every single person that was part of the production could ask whatever question they wanted. And I gave them, even from the set design to the costumes to the technical, the images, I suggested images. And I worked with Kenneth. Kenneth was the liaison between myself and everybody else at when I was giving him information. But at the same time, specifically for the cast, I sat in at the table read, and before it even started, that's what happened. They asked a ton of questions about every single member. And now my family was there were 10 children and the two parents. So clearly it couldn't be 12 characters. It was just too many.
Too many trap moments.
So I've combined the two characters, oldest brothers, yeah, with my father. And, you know, Louis is his own person. Connie is her own person. And the mom is her own person.
Well, this sounds like a beautiful play, and probably not an easy one. And that's the best kind of play, right? And it's Soul Sacrifice at Casa 01 Josefina Lopez's theater in Boyle Heights, 2102 East 1st Street. I'm sure those tickets are way gone, but you can still go to the premiere if that's not sold out. And also just check out gasaset0101.org and catch the schedule there. It's going through June 21st, so opens May 29th. Consuelo and Mirna, thank you so much. And tell people in 10 seconds, why is it important to support KPFK?
Oh, my God. KPFK is the platform for the community. It is the voice for the community. And it has been one of the most important contributions to our to distribute the knowledge of all of the creatives and the political and the social justice parts of our community.
Wow.
What Consuelo said.
That was good.
Yeah.
This show is excluded.
This show,
no, it is
programming
not
excluded.
No, it is not.
Thank you for joining us, and we got to beg for a little more money, so we got to get people to call in 818-985-5735.
Donate to KPFK. Donate. I know it's hard, but it's harder when we don't have our voices.
That's right, and we got $100 for the East Side Story, Volume 1-3, or if you like, the numbers 4-6, get that volume, also 100, and the t-shirt for 65.
Also, we have the Pochophone, for $20. And basically, we will.
Who described it earlier?
Yeah, we're going to give you two tin cans with a string. $10.
Yeah, that's right.
So it's called the budget vote. You can only call someone 20 feet away from you.
We need your support, so call in. And I want to thank Patricia Guadalupe. I want to thank Consuelo Flores, Mirna Velasco. I want to thank Ozzy, our sound guy. I want to thank Jeffrey Esteban, Gary Baca, producer. Who did I leave out, guys?
Jaime Casillas.
Listener Jaime supporters.
And I'll be at the Comedy Chateau all weekend, so